Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk. And through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker. So I'm taking us back to the heady days of 1979.
Ooh.
It is the 8th of September. Okay. Sorry, I was like that little flurry there of where am I? It was the 8th of September 1979. It was a Saturday.
Oh, lovely. Okay, wow, 79. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, yeah. Mm. But we were alive, so you
yeah. know. Yeah, we were. You're right. I was there, you were there, okay.
It feels like yesterday, and I'm going to make it seem like yesterday.
All right, if yesterday was 40 members. Years.
What okay. happened? What happened in those days? Well,
what
Brighton's nudist beach opened.
Did it really? 79?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's very liberal in the 79.
It was okay. September 1979. So, yeah, and I was, well, as we know, I availed myself of its facilities many a time.
Wow, but what a silly time to open a nudist beach. In the September, maybe it was a soft opening.
said Frankie Howard. Oh no.
Okay.
Also, but it wasn't a great day because we'd had the Fastnet yacht race disaster. There was a storm, if you remember.
I do.
And in this particular race, you know, people were washed overboard
they
and things.
Washed,
one of them was my sister's friend, Joanna Lefebvre's father. And he died, William Lefebvre.
So that was grim.
It was not nice. And also, Lord Mountbatten was assassinated and murdered by the IRA on that day.
Oh, was it his funeral?
Was it a funeral?
Somehow you've noted that, so...
I've noted that, it's noted. I think it might have been the funeral.
Yeah, maybe.
And for the last time from this abbey which he knew so well, and through so many reigns, the body of Admiral of the Fleet, Earl Mountbatten of Burma, is borne from the high altar.
Oh, yeah, that was
because I've written funeral. That's
okay.
A note here.
That's a giveaway. Yeah, he was bloated up, wasn't he, in his little boat or something. Yes, that was quite shocking, wasn't
it? It was shocking. Mm. Yeah, and in fact, just as a memory of sometimes, you know, people talk about how grim, like even the 70s were.
Yeah.
And I know we're in the death throes of the 70s.
Yeah.
But my God, we're in the death throes if that had been going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Yorkshire Ripper claimed his 12th victim as well.
Her death led to the setting up of a new super squad of top detectives, desperate to catch a man who seemed to defy every known detection technique.
Grim days.
So it wasn't a pleasant...
Mm. Never mind, we've got the nudist beach.
The nudist beach, all jolly. We can go and look at Dick and Fanny sunning themselves on the beach.
It's all right then.
But what would we have been dancing to? Well, I certainly would have been dancing to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think you would have been. But number one was We Don't Talk Anymore.
Okay.
But interesting things that were in the charts were Oh, What a Life, the Gibson Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Which I really liked,
I
actually.
Like that.
Some, I did like that. And this is The Diary of Horace Wimp, ELO. ELO also had Don't Bring Me Down in the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of forgot that people would release an album,
yes.
then they would release singles from it,
yep.
and as the singles were coming down the charts,
yep.
the other singles would be moving up the
Here
charts.
Comes another
so
one.
You would want to, you, sometimes you had people with two or three records in the charts, particularly
the
if some of them had hung around for a while.
Yeah, all right, but yes.
So Horace Wimp, This Is Your Life. It's I liked it. I must confess to a
fondness.
More than a fondness, really, for ELO. Lost in Music, Sister Sledge, so you'd have been discoing there.
Our point.
And here is a track I absolutely loved.
Okay.
And it looks like it was in and out of the charts,
in
like
out,
you wouldn't
out.
Know it.
Yeah.
But Rock Lobster B-52s.
Oh, yeah.
Film-wise, okay. You know, some great films were just out then.
Mm-hmm.
Alien.
Okay.
So Sigourney Weaver graced our screens probably for the first time. The China Syndrome, which was the Jack Lemmon, Jane Fonda film about a nuclear power plant disaster, which was great.
It will start with a tremor in a nuclear power plant. Where it will end will depend on three people.
I would say you're probably lucky to be alive. Same for the rest of Southern California.
Jane Fonda.
Let's face it, you didn't get this job because of your investigative abilities. Kimberly, don't fight it.
Jack Lemmon.
There was a vibration!
Michael Douglas.
I don't know that accident is the right word.
Accident is the right word!
Also, a film that I don't think I ever saw, which surprised me because I really like Barbara Streisand.
Course.
But this was the main event, which was Ryan O'Neill and Barbara Streisand in a boxing movie.
Yeah.
I think the adverts for it were really distasteful.
Yeah, very distasteful.
And I think they were trying to do a kind of little bit of a harebrained comedy, little bit like What's Up, Doc, but without
any harebrainedness.
The charm and harebrainedness that absolutely...
That had it in spades, this not
so much. Tremendous.
And swindled. At the height of her career, Hillary Kramer was left with only one asset, a reluctant fighter.
Kidnapped.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
do
he's
you know where
right
he's...
around the corner.
Oh.
You can't miss him.
Oh.
You're the lady from Beverly Hills. I'm not a fighter.
You're not a fighter?
Do I look like a fighter?
No.
Huh.
I would count myself with you.
So, yeah, I think they were probably trying to recreate the magic of that.
Mm.
But I've never seen it, so I can't judge.
No, me neither.
I might be dismissing this, and it could be a masterpiece of comedy. Moving swiftly on. On television, we've got Telford's Change. It was a soap opera, wasn't it?
Was it American?
No.
Right.
That's Life.
Okay.
Cyril Fletcher. Esther. Extraordinarily enough, ITV had a technician's strike and they were off the air for 11 weeks.
Wow.
They literally had, I think they broadcast a couple of things a day, but it was very limited. And I don't know if it was, I can't even remember if it was news. But 11 weeks. So the BBC ruled the television world.
Punching the air. Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
You imagine? No Crossroads, no Coronation Street for 11 weeks. What did people do?
The lifeblood.
There was definitely no EastEnders then, was there?
No, that's in the 80s sometime. Shocking.
Very,
I'm more
very
shocked that, than that by poor old Mountbatten being blown up. Can't believe it.
Oh dear. Always enjoy a bit of a massacre, but no, TV being off the air. An absolutely fantastic documentary series was made, and I don't know if you remember about it, about television.
Oh, right.
And strangely, it was an ITV programme.
Yeah.
The thing I remember most about it was episodes 11 and 12 were about what television is and then what television will be in the future.
Right.
And I remember it just blew me away.
Yeah.
They had done some research or some experimenting had been done with these families where they took their television away from them for a few weeks.
Yeah.
They showed you the family and they're talking. They were playing games, they were playing cards and they were talking and laughing. And they'd interview them and saying, oh, it's just so much fun. We're so close together. We love it. And,
yeah.
And then the next shot you got was this woman just sitting in a chair with a Hoover by her feet, staring into empty space with the voiceover sort of saying, it's like, I've got nothing.
Exactly.
I just look at the space where the TV was.
Oh, man.
So obviously it was all great in front of and then the reality slipped in and the woman was deeply depressed because no TV. Misery and no ITV.
Yeah. Used to think that life was sweet. Used to think we were so complete. Consequence, what do you did that was interesting?
Well, I finished reading Pack My Bag and Madame Bovary.
Wow.
So I obviously reading a couple of books.
You were reading in stereo,
tandem. Clearly. Ooh. Pack My Bag is a autobiography by a guy called Henry Green. It was I really enjoyed it actually. I can remember nothing about him. Henry Green.
Yeah. I liked him.
Who? Yeah, I couldn't say who he is. I read the book, I liked the book, and I've still got it.
Okay.
And I've still got it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right then, well, let's remind ourselves of that.
So it was a busy morning anyway.
Yeah.
And I was living in London. There was a period where I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere, so I was literally just staying with people.
Oh, right.
So I was staying on people's floors and moving around.
Right.
At this point, I was in the apartment Kim had, the house she was living in, which was in Brook Green. At this particular point, Kim was in Australia. I'm sure it'll come up when we look at this a little bit later on in the year, but I would sleep on people's floors. Mm-hmm. I would go out.
What a nomadic time.
It was a strange period.
Oh, yeah.
I don't ever remember thinking, oh, I'm at home. But I just seemed to move my bags around from place to place. And as I said, I would just stay at people's places one night. But not necessarily with my bags.
No.
I would find a place where I could permanently be for a little bit, or I might leave my stuff somewhere. But my brother was just about to come to London, so I would sometimes sleep at his.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Because now we're so laden down with all our possessions. The idea of it is slightly freaky, isn't it?
Absolutely amazing to think. Yeah, I was actually homeless.
Yeah.
I was of no fixed abode. I didn't have a permanent address. And I would sleep on people's floors. But I didn't think, I've got nowhere to live.
No.
I just shuffled around until somebody
allowed you in.
Sort of said, come in. Come and live here. But it was the main thing was that I didn't have contact with people a lot. But we've already talked about, you know how difficult it was to get hold of people.
Yeah, of course.
You couldn't get hold of me because nobody really knew where I was.
Yeah.
Unless you'd happened to bump into me and I said, this is my telephone number for the next 6 weeks.
But anyway, so you've got Kim's place now.
I'm in Kim's place for a good few weeks.
Okay.
But I finished reading Pack My Bag and Madame Bovary.
Yeah.
I went to see Quadrophenia in the afternoon.
Oh,
a great film.
How cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You think now it's such a kind of cultural icon of a sort of moment in time in film. And you was there.
I was there.
It.
Well, of course, I remember a lot of it was, there was that whole section that was filmed in Brighton, wasn't it?
I left home last night. I mean, nothing seems right apart from Brighton. I was a mud there, you know?
There's a one minute you're all right, next minute you're going bloody stupid. You can't even have a bit of the other without kicking your mate's head in for it.
You was watching Thank you. I was there round.
First time round. Mm. And I think that was about the first time of about 4-5 times I saw it at the cinema. Right. I rarely ever went to see anything twice.
Really? Okay.
Rarely. Right, you know, right, I mean, right. I'm good at a push, even
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, although I will tend to get it on the DVD now.
True.
But I tend to see a film once mm-hmm. and it will stick with me if it sticks with me. If it doesn't, then...
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, I actually went to the cinema
yeah.
to see this about 4 or 5 times.
Wow. Just because...
Loved it.
Loved it. Okay. Okay.
I love the style of it. I love the mods. I love yeah. the... You know, I was a little bit modish in my dress anyway.
Right, okay.
Got all my clothes from second-hand shops. Mm-hmm. Those sort of tapered trousers. 60s little suits. Because yeah. those were the things that were available then.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it was by necessity that I was a bit modish.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than by...
choice.
Desire. Yeah. But it is a look... I liked,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have my parka. I didn't,
no,
you know,
no,
have
no,
it.
No,
but I did have natty little suits. And
natty
things
little
that I would,
suits,
yes.
like it.
Yes,
very, very yeah. stylish.
Yeah. Okay. I also had a fantastic suit at this time that mm. was immense. It was a dog tooth. I don't know. It's a Prince of Wales check,
oh.
but it was really big, and I used to have to. I had braces,
yeah,
but it was so big that I used to have to wear a belt.
Okay, round the top.
Round the top,
yeah.
And then I wore a jumper, and then I wore the braces over the jumper, and then the suit, and then I had a trilby. So it was quite a look.
It was definitely it was quite a look.
So that was not modish. That one.
No.
That was going.
That was more like
tramp.
Kid Creole. yeah. But that too.
yeah. But got a bit of string round my middle. I was living on the streets and had a bit of string round my middle. I wandered around for a while. I listened to a string quartet in Leicester Square.
Wow.
I can still picture it. It's really funny.
Is it outdoors?
So it was outdoors,
okay.
yeah. But they were just busking. But it was there were 4 of them and they were stringing, just playing some beautiful classical
How
music.
Lovely.
And then I went back home. I went to Brook Green Fair.
Okay.
And I got some shoes and a jacket.
Is it like a market or something?
No, I think it was a little bit of a fete. I think it was like Brook Green
okay.
fete, their little summer fete.
You were buying shoes.
And I found a pair of shoes. I cannot remember the shoes, actually. I can't even picture what they looked like. But the jacket, I adored.
Okay.
The jacket was grey. It was linen.
Oh.
It was thin lapelled. Oh. It was, I loved it.
That sounds
I
nice.
Loved it. It was a very natty little jacket.
You might have thought about
I've got a, I'm sure I've got a photograph of it somewhere or me in it and
oh,
I can
not,
perhaps
need to see that.
Post that
yes,
post. On the blog site.
Post it, please.
Because, yeah, no, I loved that jacket.
Oh, it I can was, remember items of clothing that you were so in love with. They really defined that moment.
Yeah, it became really threadbare.
Yeah, well, yeah. Along with the big old trousers.
Because, well, that suit disappeared. I lost it.
No. Shame.
When I moved out of Kim's, obviously I left a bag there. And then when I eventually went back, the bag had disappeared.
Oh, that's sad. Tragic.
It was sad. I wasn't happy about
no,
that. But,
I can imagine.
Anyway.
All right, so lovely. You've perused the stalls
yeah.
at the fair.
And at 6, I went into town to see Rory at Theatre Space.
Okay, Rory. Who...
So Rory is my friend from the Drama Centre.
Okay.
I forced myself on him and Kathy. I lived in their flat for a while during my homeless days.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
oh, yeah, and he was working at Theatre Space, which was a fringe theatre in Covent Garden.
Okay.
And it was quite an avant-garde space.
Yeah.
You know, it'd obviously come up in the 60s and it did kind of
right.
quite interesting stuff. He knew the woman who owned it or ran it, who was a lady called Anne, I think.
Right.
And I think we were discussing actually doing a play there.
Okay.
And I think we were wanted to do a Jean Genet play
mm-hmm.
called Death Watch.
Right.
Which was about 3 criminals in France. Though, Fay Little Me, Rory, and are not the ideal people
no.
to be playing. yeah, no, thugs, we could... I certainly couldn't do. I'm not even sure Rory could do thug.
Certainly not men. Two sort of pretty boys.
Yeah, I like your optimism, but...
Yeah. Anyway, we left... But that never happened.
Okay.
I think we're happy to say that particular strangeness never occurred. But yeah, it was a thing that we were, possibly planning to do there. But I then got myself a ticket for Bent,
right,
which is by Martin Sherman. And it is a play about the homosexuals who were imprisoned during the war by the Nazis.
So they
were sent to concentration camps. I went and had, interestingly, tea at McDonald's.
Ooh, tea at McDonald's.
So McDonald's was relatively new to London.
Yeah, it would have been.
At that point. And I did like it.
Yeah.
And they used to have those wonderful little things. I remember they did a thing where they had a game where you built a burger. And you would get, every time you bought a burger, you'd buy a stamp. And if you built your burger, you could go in and you could get a free burger.
Free burger.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
Nobody can do it.
Nobody.
Nobody's cooking better all across the land.
Nobody.
New, fresh, crisp, hot, that's what we demand.
Right.
You're the reason we do it.
You.
Nobody can do it like McDonald's can.
Nobody.
Oh my. That's exciting. Wow.
So I'm ashamed to say that I was... I attended McDonald's, but there it is in black and white.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Shame on you. Although...
But it was new, it was kind of like, had a kind of relatively funky... It was, it was a down market...
Golden Egg.
Hot Rock... No, what was...
Do you remember Golden Egg?
I do remember the Golden Egg.
I love the Golden Egg.
Everywhere had a Golden Egg.
And you literally
would
get a Golden Egg. They would make you egg on toast, egg. Oh, I love the Golden Egg.
I remember going in a Golden Egg with D. Sadler.
Oh.
Little shout out for that lovely lady. So anyway, I went to see Bent, which was magnificent. One of the best plays I've seen since Mary Barnes.
I thought you were about to say Mary Poppins, but yes, a Mary Barnes. All right.
And strange, I think it began its life at the Royal Court,
mm-hmm.
as indeed Mary Barnes started its life at the Royal Court. I saw Mary Barnes at the Royal Court, but Bent I didn't see until it was in the West End at the Criterion Theatre, I think it was, at Piccadilly. Now, in the interval, I talked to and took for a drink. How generous of me.
Yeah,
homeless person. Well, I wasn't paying rent, so I'd probably...
Get
if I wasn't paying rent, I'd be fine. But anyway, her name was Roberta Stitch.
Ooh, good name.
And she was sat next to me, and we obviously struck up a conversation. She was from America, and funnily enough, she is an assistant to a lawyer who specialises in immigration. And then amusing, I've written, et cetera, et cetera.
In a kind of
whatever that means. Immigration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Immigration. What is the et cetera? What else is the immigration?
It's a legal term. Malud.
She just helps anyone out.
Is this of interest to you, or are you just...
Oh, yes. Okay. It is, Penny. It's of great interest to me.
I'm sensing because something.
Because she will be a useful contact for me when I go to New York.
I am going to New York.
New York, a wonderful town. The Bronx is up and the battery down. The people ride in a hole in the ground. New York, New York.
So at this point, I had a plan.
You had a dream.
To get away from that and go to New York. I was going to go and be a person in New York.
A homeless person.
A homeless person in New York instead of London.
You were...
Clogging up London streets, I was going to head towards... I knew no one in New York. So okay. I think I would have been on the streets if I had gone. Although I was always constantly sort of finding people who like had contacts. Can I come and stay with you? I stay with people in London all the time.
All the time. I'm a professional.
I'm a professional. Well, strangely, I'm off on holiday tomorrow. And where am I going? I'm going down to Dartmoor to stay with friends.
To stay with friends.
I think it's a thing that I obviously adopted during this time.
It was
just
very formative for you, wasn't it? This
I think
period.
it's quite natural to me just to go and stay with people. Are thinking, piss off. Okay, now I'm coming to stay. I'm going to stay for 3 days. I will require, I have a vegan diet now. And,
no going down McDonald's, et cetera. Yeah, you would have had to have had paperwork, so she would have been a useful person had you carried out.
Well, my intention was to go and be an actor there.
Of course,
so
of course.
She would, and I think now I think about it, the et cetera, may have been green card, the ability to work there, things that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd obviously discussed this with her. I obviously said, I'm coming, Roberta, I'm coming.
And I'm coming to stay with you. Where do you live? How many friends you got? I could get at least a fortnight.
Do they have money and a home? And amusingly, I note, I hope to go on January the 7th.
Very.
So it's a very specific date.
Yes, yes.
So I don't know why I was so specific about January the 7th.
No, I mean, I'm not even thinking we're on September the 8th. So September, October, November, December, January, 4 months-ish. I'm unclear as to why you've chosen that date. And you don't know either.
I've no idea why I chose January the 7th.
Right.
Perhaps I thought, oh, yeah, I want to be here for Christmas.
Of course.
Christmas celebrations drag on to about the 6th.
Yes, yes.
The 7th is the day to go.
That's my first clear day.
Because otherwise I'll be celebrating.
Yeah. Busy.
I've got so many people, places to go to.
Yeah, I've got commitments to stay with people. 7th I can do. Put me down.
Yeah. I then got home and I started to read The Diaries of Bertolt Brecht. Do we think Bertolt Brecht's diaries influenced my own writing?
I will expect to see some very clear evidence going forward.
It'd be interesting to note if they did.
Yeah, I feel you haven't been, you've not been influenced enough, because that's what I'm seeing on your diaries, where you see something or read something, we get a little bit of a strain coming through, don't we?
Yes.
A little flavour.
Mm. Yeah, so I've not gone Germanic, have I?
No, but any minute
but
now.
But I could. It could be slipping into my...
I could
be morphing, I could be absorbing Bertolt. Bertolt could be filling my life very soon.
He will live through you and by you.
So hopefully they will have a more intellectual tenor to them.
Good.
Than they do currently.
Good, because the whole McDonald's episode is a little bit shameful and you should be ashamed.
I am Penny. I am.
And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening, and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.